following is an Auburn Network production. You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067. Bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what sports talk radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Happy Thursday, everybody, or just Thursday if you're an Auburn fan. It is February 19th, 2026. This is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. And I have a slight feeling we will do that on the show today. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. He is the Christian Griffin. We appreciate you being with us on this Thursday. It's a nice day. It's warm out there today. That false spring is here. Don't look at the weather for next week because the temperature's dropping right back down. But that is not what we're talking today. We're not even going to talk much about a gold medal hockey game going on right now over in Italy with the U.S. of A. and those darn cussing Canadians. We're not even going to talk about that. We're going to talk a lot of Auburn basketball, college basketball, and beyond. More details to come. Christian, Thursday.
Thursday to you, sir.
Thursday to you, sir.
Yeah, temperature's heating up. The microphones are heating up. We're ready to go.
How long did you sleep last night? After having the early wake-up call yesterday and driving, calling two games, driving back, doing a show. How long did you sleep yesterday?
Not as much as I would have liked. And
after the power nap.
The power nap was in fact in there. I woke up at 7:45 and didn't know where I was and watched the final 2 minutes and overtime and the second overtime of the game in Tuscaloosa as I watched the first half of whatever Auburn and Mississippi State was last night. But no, definitely not enough. I had a little bit of work I needed to knock out, so kept me up a little later, but maybe I should have just stayed asleep after the power nap. Should have gone right back, laid the head back down.
Yeah, you should have just stayed asleep and kept your eyes closed. And for those of you who did not do that, we're going to talk about it. Auburn loses their fifth game in a row. Auburn basketball goes to Starkville last night, allows Josh Hubbard to have a career high. Auburn goes down big, they come back, and then they blow it yet again. So we are, in fact, going to talk about that. We're going to talk a lot about that today as Auburn is in big trouble as they lose to Mississippi State last night. We'll talk about some of the other games that happened last night in college basketball, including maybe the game of the year in Tuscaloosa between the Crimson Tide and the Arkansas Razorbacks. We also have another Auburn head coach joining us later on today in hour number two, so excited for that. We've been on a roll getting coaches here on the program. And then Chris Gordy, the host of the Locked On SEC podcast, will join us. No Brad Law today. They are on a plane heading to Texas, him and the baseball team, so we'll not have him today. We'll pick back up with him this time next week. And phone lines are open. They're open. Wide open. Ready for you. 334-321-1390. All of hour number one, at least, they're open. If you have thoughts, if you have feelings, if you have a strong opinion that just needs to be shared, we would love to hear from you. Keep it clean, but we'd love to hear from you. 334-321-1390. Your thoughts and takeaways from Auburn falling to Mississippi State last night in Starkville, losing their fifth game in a row. You can give us a call at 334-321-1390, or you can shoot us a text in the on-the-line text box, as many of you already have, at 334-784-1067. And Christian?
Do we have to?
Yeah, we've stalled long enough.
Darn. Wait, you mean we have to have the same conversation that we have on a lot of Mondays and a lot of Wednesdays and a lot of Thursdays as well?
It's a conversation that we have had five games in a row, actually. But this one's got a different taste. This one's got a different feeling. This one has a different vibe. Because I opened the show yesterday as you were making your way back from Montgomery. I opened the show yesterday, and we ended the show yesterday talking about what that game against Mississippi State represented for Auburn. Yes, it was a road game in the SEC. Yes, it was a conference game in mid to late February. And yes, it was a game against a team that you're supposed to be better than. And it was a game that we challenged this Auburn team to respond. Every player, every minute, every play to respond in the right way. Whether it was Tahad Pettiford continuing to play well, Keyshawn Hall coming off the suspension, or my goodness, somebody else to step up and act like they want to be efficient on the offensive end of the floor, the entire team to play defense and to respond to their head coach and back him up and turn things around coming down the stretch. And for a moment, or moments, it looked like that was impossible. It looked like it was probable, and it was flat out happening. But I have to admit, last night's game between Auburn and Mississippi State on the hardwood in Starkville, where Auburn takes its fifth loss of the season, and they do so in just heartbreaking fashion, 91-85. I don't think I have ever felt the way I felt last night watching this game for Auburn in any Auburn Athletics event I've ever watched. The swing of emotions that I felt in this game. And notice I said swings, plural, right? This isn't the biggest jump or drop we've ever felt or seen. This wasn't Final Four-esque. This wasn't 2013 National Championship-esque, right? Where you were on the top of the world, you're about to win the biggest game in program history, either one of those, and then it gets ripped away from you in an instant, right? That was a much bigger swing with one swing of the pendulum. But the problem was, the pendulum last night was broken on its axis because it didn't know which way to go. Because you give up more points to a single player than you scored in the entire first half. You then come out in the second half with your hair on fire and take the lead and go in a back and forth game that was a ton of fun to watch. You have a 7-point lead and all the momentum with under 4 to play, and you just crumble like a cookie, and you give it all back. Christian, your thoughts, Auburn and Mississippi State last night in Starkville.
A very similar conversation to, again, the emotions that Auburn fans have felt for quite some time, and I agree, this one was different from the going-in factor, where there was still so much to play for, so much that could happen. There was so much possibility for a turnaround. And we talked about this in the second half. We talked a little bit about it yesterday, of how we weren't going to necessarily give credit to this Auburn team for winning this game. This was yesterday, and then a little bit when they had the lead very late in the second half. But how you could give credit for a generic road win. You could give credit for your team responding, like what you were talking about, responding to Stephen Pearl, responding to what they needed to do to finish the back stretch of this game in a correct way, in a way that gets them into the postseason, in a way that gets them to where you feel like there is confidence moving into Saturday and then into the next midweek and then into the following Saturday. You didn't see it in the first half because it took 17 minutes for somebody to finally step up and try and make a double team on Josh Hubbard, who had 35 at halftime.
Outscored the entire Auburn team. Yeah,
Auburn had 33. I believe it was 8 of 11 from three. And again, some of those were just Josh Hubbard being Josh Hubbard, who we talked about. And I believe both of us gave our analysis of this game, the closing remarks of forcing this team to shoot from well beyond the perimeter and not allowing offensive rebounds, and then how neither of us trusted Auburn to guard Josh Hubbard.
Yeah.
Both of those pretty much came true, but...
Didn't matter.
Auburn forced him to shoot from three. Auburn didn't really give up offensive rebounds, because there weren't really too many of them for him to get. But just the same feeling, the same type of emotional roller coaster of, man, we played about as bad as we could have. Let's try and work our way back. All of a sudden, you start working your way back. There's a little bit of a run. You start to believe again. You even take the lead. And then you give it right back.
Yeah.
And you feel like that is basketball lately. You feel like it's been football. You feel like it's not as much baseball. Again, you ran into a really good Coastal team. But a majority of these driven conversations to start shows have been with these two sports, at least as of late. And although they all fit into their different little Venn diagrams, every single one of them fits into the very middle of the same type of just heart-wrenching feeling of you get hope, you get a little momentum, and then it's ripped from you.
Going into the game last night, I said yesterday that this was the benchmark, right? This was the point in the season that we have talked about all year long, but every basketball team has. Every college basketball team has it, okay? To where you are who you are at a certain point in the season. There is no exact date. There's no exact time. There's no red line in the calendar that shows, okay, if you're not who you are by the 11th of February, you're done for. You're in trouble. There isn't that doesn't exist. It is truly based off of feel. And I felt that going into last night's game against Mississippi State was the benchmark for this Auburn team. We were going to find out, one way or the other, who this team was. And as we sit here on this Thursday, on a 5-game losing streak, you're a bottom 5 team in the SEC, and you are on the verge of missing the NCAA tournament in the first year of Stephen Pearl as your head coach. This team is what it is, man. They're not changing. They're not getting better. They're not going to get fixed. What you see is what you get. And when it's on, sometimes it's good. But when it's not, my God, it's terrible. It is miserable to watch.
And you want to know how we know that's not an opinion? In the second half, Auburn goes on a 14-1 run, also goes on a 7-0 run. Those obviously not direct, but in the second half, there were 20 points, a 20-point differential in favor of the Auburn Tigers to go up 7-0, 80-73, with 3:53 remaining in the contest. And at that point, Auburn said, yep, that's cool. Auburn, we got it done. Mississippi State, you're going to roll over. You're not coming back. We got 4 minutes. We have all of the momentum in this half-full gymnasium.
Half is generous.
Maybe after halftime, because they saw what Josh Hubbard did and saw that they needed to show up.
The students started running from their dorms.
But after that, when Auburn was up 80-73 in the final 3 minutes and 53 seconds, Auburn was outscored 18-5 when it was time to finish the job. 14-3, Auburn was outscored in the final 2 minutes. Because the defense just stopped caring. You allowed Josh Hubbard to get open again. You allowed him to do what he wanted to do. You allowed Ops to make a couple of good shots. And again, 18-5. In the final final 3 minutes of this basketball game, all of that thought of a rally, of what that second half could be for the back 5 games of Auburn's schedule, it's out the window.
It's gone. Completely gone. And that's what I thought we had the chance to do. The first 20 minutes, and we're about to get to the phone lines, we got our guy Lonnie holding on, who I assume has a passionate thought or two. I thought at halftime, all right, well, so much for that.
Yeah.
So much for what this game could have been. So much for what this could have been as a turning point in the season. And then Auburn decided, I guess we'll play a little bit. We'll come back out. Because we were sitting there at halftime and it was like, God, that was miserable. That sucked. But no way Josh Hubbard shoots that way in the second half, right? Which somebody corrected us. Believe he made 9 threes in the first half last night. Correct me on that. 9 threes made in the first half last night for Josh Hubbard.
He was. He was He was 9 of 12, 13 of 18 from the floor.
And we thought, no way he can do that in the second half. And turns out that was kind of right. And Auburn goes on a run, takes the lead back and forth. Here we go.
Well, yeah, Auburn finally said, we're going to double. We're going to get the ball out of Josh Hubbard's hands, and we're going to almost play a box and one and let anybody else shoot it from the short corner, from the elbow, or from the three.
And then the idea for us was, man, we're going to get to talk about this tomorrow as the turning point of the season, to where Auburn can get hot, get on a run, beat a couple quality opponents with Kentucky and Alabama, and be playing your best ball heading into Nashville into the NCAA tournament. And in the matter of 3 minutes and 53 seconds, you laid out the numbers. Auburn just threw it away.
Auburn gave up 24 points in 16 minutes. You gave up 18 minutes in less than four. When it was closing time.
In crunch time, yeah. Phone lines are open. Give us a call, 334-321-1390. We head down to Lochapoca. Our guy Lonnie is on the phone lines. What's going on, brother? How are you on this Thursday?
I'm doing pretty well. I hadn't called in a while.
Yeah.
How you guys been doing?
Yeah, we're doing good, man. Staying busy and glad to hear from you, my friend.
Well, honestly, I haven't called in because I really wanted to give this guy the benefit of the doubt to get through most of the season before I formed a solid opinion.
This guy being Stephen Pearl?
Correct. And I had one before he got hired, and my opinion on that was, please, God, don't do this. But I don't know as much about basketball as he does or Bruce Pearl does or the athletic director does, so I was willing to sit back and wait. And I can honestly say that in my entire 50 years of being an Auburn fan, that I've never, ever wanted to fire somebody in the first year. But that's changed. We're 107th in recruiting right now for next season. I can pretty much imagine that unless the season were to turn around drastically, which I don't think it's going to, you're going to have some defections at the end of the year, natural and otherwise. And what big-time players are going to want to come coach for or play for this guy?
Yeah, that's a good point. We hadn't really brought up the recruiting side of things. We've talked about the ability of, okay, let's let Steven get his team. Let's let Steven, you know, get the guys that he wants in instead of almost being force-fed a team that, yes, he still had a little bit of a choosing in, but it was still Bruce Pearl's team before stepping down. But, yeah, you're at the point right now of what's his next team going to look like if the recruiting class is non-existent and you see the transfers that come in and, yes, have numbers on the scoring side of things, but when you're looking at the record, doesn't necessarily give the most appeal to some of the top transfers in the country.
Well, I mean, I just – If I'm the athletic director, I'm letting him coach out the rest of the year, and you miss the tournament, I'm going to get Chris Beard and telling Steven it was a good test there the first year. But he is absolutely in over his head. I don't think that there's any way that anybody can really say that he's not. I mean, that this he's not ready for prime time, guys. He's probably a nice guy. I've never met him. That's not the issue. I just don't think he's ready for this job. Let me say this, the last 2.5 minutes of that ball game last night was some of the worst coaching I've ever seen.
Auburn,
you don't use your time. You don't use your timeouts. I mean, it's just,
State outscored Auburn 14-3 in the final 2 minutes.
That's pitiful. I mean, the one thing I will say that in his defense, that's not on him. We were 5 of 14 on layups last night.
Yeah, that'll do it.
That's horrific. But guys, I don't know what's going to happen with football this year. I think the baseball team, I think that game the other night was just a kind of a letdown, whatever you want to call it. I don't think Cincinnati's that bad of a team. That pitcher they had was a stud. But in terms of overall athletics over the last year, our best program has been swimming. I mean, if we really want to win, who in their right mind really thinks that we're going to win with Stephen Pearl in basketball? I don't. And the next question that leads me to, does this not tarnished. Tarnished is not the right word. That's a little too strong. But is this a blemish or a black mark on Bruce Pearl for handling the hiring? Because these kids came to play for Bruce Pearl.
Yeah.
They did. And this is what they got. Now, I know they all chose to stay.
Right.
But, you know, you cannot convince me that Bruce Pearl didn't know before he retired that he was going to retire. You cannot convince me that that was not a contrived timing so that his son would be hired. I don't like that. There's a reason why nepotism fails. So, you know, hopefully we turn it around and we make the tournament. Stephen Pearl saying last night, you know, if we lose to Kentucky on Saturday, we're in the bubble. Buddy, you're already on the bubble. Last night was when the bubble started.
Yeah, I agree. So, I agree with that 100%, Lonnie. I do. Really good points, my friend. It's great to hear from you.
Have a good one, guys. War Eagle.
Lonnie, down in Lochapoca, big part of our program, longtime listener there on the phone lines. 334-321-1390. They're open for Lonnie. They're open for you as well. We'd love to hear from you. A text as we go to break. Mississippi State men's basketball, or more, three times this year. Texas, Auburn, and Alabama State. Someone says it's embarrassing. We talk more. Auburn basketball. They fall to Mississippi State. Fifth game in a row. The Tigers have been on the wrong side of things. We continue this conversation next.
This is Amber from Amber and Ian. You're listening to On the Line with Jacob Goins on Auburn Opelika Sports Leader ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you want to be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
All right, we're back here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika Sports Leader, talking Auburn basketball. They fall to Mississippi State last night in, I don't know, dramatic, heartbreaking, just depressing fashion. Is that the word we want to use today?
The saying that Mississippi State or Auburn falls to Mississippi State, does that give too much credit to State?
I don't know, man. Dude, can we give props where it's due? Josh Hubbard scored 46 freaking points last night.
Oh, yeah.
35 of them came in the first half. That's one of the great. I said this on Doug's show earlier. That's one of the greatest shooting performances I've ever watched with my own two eyes.
It was one, it would be one thing, which a couple of the shots were just easy catch and shoots, but
right.
We see the difficulty that Hubbard shoots with every single night. And I mean, it was absurd.
And his shot is so pretty. It looks like it takes 10 years for the ball to get to the rim, but it's just,
it doesn't hit it very often.
No, and it's just like it's like he's shooting one of those airless basketballs. You know what I'm talking about? The 3D printed one with all the holes in it that they started using. It looks like he's shooting one of those to where it just floats. Looks like a feather. Just floats. Just creeps up. Hangs out in the air for a little bit and just softly drops into the net. And yeah, some of the shots were insane last night. But you told it, you said it out loud to me, and it was true. Most of the time, once he got hot, State wasn't even running offensive sets.
No, it was
they
not.
They were just high ball screen, hand off to Hubbard, and let it rip, Tater Chip. And he did it.
And it's exactly what they did in the second half as well. That was why Auburn was able to go on the run. The only difference was we forced the ball out of Hubbard's hands, and obviously because at that point you're playing 4-on-3, there's going to be somebody open, and Auburn willingly allowed a 30% three-point shooter to shoot open threes, and they didn't capitalize. And then under 4 minutes, Josh Hubbard had 5 points again.
Yeah, I mean, you contained him for the first 15 minutes of the second half, and the word I've continued to use today is Josh Hubbard then revived himself and came back from the gulag and beat you down the stretch.
It's that, but it's also just the fact of, I genuinely think when Auburn went on that 7-0 run, Tahad hit a three and KO hit a three.
Yeah.
Auburn called timeouts. They were chirping at everybody in the front row. I genuinely think that Auburn sat there and said, you know what? That's over. That was it.
They thought it was
State
done.
Is done.
Yeah,
they can't get back off the mat.
They thought State was a weak team and they were just going to crumble.
Yeah.
Guess who the weak team that crumbled was? Your Auburn Tigers.
You let Josh Hubbard tell everybody in the gymnasium when Auburn came to town that nobody leaves state. Talking, standing at the free throw line right next to Keyshawn Murphy. That's what you let happen to you. That is the clip that you let happen to you on the road for, yes, again, we are giving credit to the fight, but still blowing a lead like you've done many times.
And to Lonnie's point, we're about to get to our bottom of the hour break. We'll keep talking basketball when we come back. Phone lines are open, 334-321-1390. We want to hear your thoughts on this game last night, or the text box as well at 334-784-1067. To Lonnie's point, right, he was really going in on Stephen Pearl, and appreciate his opinion, and I think a lot of people probably share his passionate opinion. The same way that we were on Hugh Freeze in football about coaching and decision-making and not putting your guys in a position to win, right, or finding ways to not win games, remember that? Stephen Pearl's not above criticism either. I said that about Bruce when he was here, God love him. I said that there is not a coach in the world, I don't care who they are, I don't care if it's Bill Belichick, I don't care if it's Nick Saban, I don't care if it was Bob Knight back in the day, nobody is above criticism. Coaching, playing, whatever. I don't, in life.
Except for chair throwing. I don't think he, I mean, that was pretty good form. I don't need to critique his ability to that.
It's pretty good, yeah. That was pretty awesome. But you do have to look at coaching to an extent in a 5-game losing streak and not being able to handle the guys on your roster, because that's where we are right now with Auburn. It's tough to watch, man.
Very.
You know what's not tough to watch? The United States women, who just tied it up with Canada in hockey in the gold medal match. Under 2 to play. The Americans are back in it. Less than a minute to go. We could have overtime hockey in the gold medal game, dude. Shut up.
This commercial break is going to tell a lot for your mood based off
USA,
of how they
were. USA! USA! We'll talk about it when we come back.
You're 30 minutes into On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Now back to the studio with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
30 minutes into the Thursday edition of On the Line here on ESPN 106.7. He is Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. We appreciate you being with us.
And Jacob did bring the show back.
I did. There
wasn't a Canadian goal in the final 54
seconds.
Oh, dude,
that would have been depressing. Nah, the Canadian women and the United States women in the gold medal match over in Milan, they are heading to overtime. What?
Guess who we talked to today?
Chris! Oh, Chris Gordy, you better be ready, my man.
Who called out
women's hockey. Yeah. Oh, I can't wait. Oh, I can't wait to have the, what is it when you hate your country? What's that term? What's that word? I don't know. I can't remember what that word is. That's Chris, at least for the Olympics. He doesn't actually hate the States. He just doesn't like the Olympics. And that's okay. You're allowed to have your opinion, even if it's wrong. Don't use the T word. We're not allowed to use that one. Yeah. What word were you going to use?
It started with a T, but...
T-E?
No.
Okay, all right.
Oh, no. The unnamed Google...
Wow.
<Dang it. laughs> The unnamed internet browser.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Offered the word traitor, so...
Yeah, but that's no, for somebody
there is
that,
an,
like...
There is an official, like...
Goes against your... I don't know. That's funny.
Oops.
Anyway, so yeah, we've got a... We've got a gold medal overtime game going on in hockey, where the United States and Canada, the women, are in a gold medal match. They're going to overtime, 1-1, so that'll be cool. We'll keep you updated.
Is this going to turn into, again, hockey? And this is not a shootout, I'm guessing. This is
no,
golden
it
gold?
Shouldn't be. It should be golden goal, because that's how the NHL is and professional hockey is in postseason play. So the Olympics... They went to the locker room. So yeah, they should have golden goal.
That's just next goal wins.
Next
right?
goal wins. Yep.
And if they don't score in this 20 minutes, you just take
do
a break
again.
And do it again.
Do it again. Yeah. Unless again in the Olympics, I don't remember. There could be shootouts. Actually, I think there is, because didn't TJ Oshie win on a shootout all those years ago for the men?
I'm looking it up right now.
There might be. there might be shootouts now, or maybe they're
Olympic hockey overtime is 3-on-3 play with no shootouts in the gold medal game.
Oh, okay. So it's different in leading up to it. So yeah, so 3-on-3, first goal wins rather than
is that including a goalie too?
3-on-3, you'll have 3 on the ice plus your goalie. Okay. I think. Yeah. So it'll be 3, you know, 3 skaters and in each goalie.
Which opens up, yeah, I mean that
opens it up.
Counterattacks and everything to where you shoot, you miss, all of a sudden you have all 2 or all 3 defenders. Yeah.
So awesome. Really cool. So we'll keep you updated on that, but we are talking more college basketball. Again, Auburn falling to Mississippi State last night. Whew. Man, nobody in the world's going to know what we're laughing at, and that is totally okay. We're talking Auburn basketball losing to Mississippi State last night, 91-85. Seems like a lot of fans are passionate about what happened, fired up about what happened. And unfortunately, I think there's a lot of fans that are just done and checked out with what happened last night. And I fear that the team could be in that situation too. More on that in just a moment. We get to the phone lines yet again. They're open for you if you want to be a part of the show. 334-321-1390. Terry, you're on the line, my man. What's going on?
Hey, Jacob. Hey, Christian. Hey, how are y'all?
We are doing good, doing Terry.
Good. Guys, I have never, ever been a fan of the coach in waiting. I think it's a load of bull. I didn't work with Wimp Sanderson, David Hobbs, didn't work with Gene Bartow and Murray Bartow in Birmingham. It's not going to work here either. I'm just not a fan of that. I think it's a disaster waiting to happen.
Why is that, Terry? Not using former situations as reasoning. Why are you not a fan of a coach who's been there for a long time, retiring, and then promoting someone from within? Why are you not a fan of that?
It's just what Lonnie said. They're not ready. The guys are not ready for the moment. The SEC is the big leagues. It's the big time. They're not ready for the moment. Hobbs wasn't, Bartow wasn't, and Pearl isn't either.
I think there's something that people didn't speak on enough, and maybe we're at fault for that too, but and somebody mentioned it on our show the other day. It may have been a guest or a listener, I can't remember, but it's inevitable to have a buffer period or have a transition or have some bumps going from an assistant coach to the head coach. Remember, somebody was talking about, right, Steven no longer being the cool assistant coach that's going to be hard on you, but the guy you can go to when something goes wrong. He's not your buddy. He's not your friend.
Me and Daryl yesterday having that question or that conversation.
Maybe it was. Yeah, maybe it was. But things change, right, Terry? Yeah. When you go from the assistant head coach to the head coach, or if you go from, you know, a shift lead to manager, GM, right? Things change when there's a power change, and there were going to be some bumps in the road for Steven Pearl. I just don't think people thought it would be to this point because of how talented the roster is on paper.
Let me ask you guys a question.
Okay.
If Steven Pearl had left Auburn and went to be a head coach, do you think he gets interviewed for the job? Because I don't.
It's funny you mentioned that because it was a question, Terry, I was about to ask you, is if you were Auburn 2 or 3 years ago when a couple of those mid-major programs were talking about Steven Pearl, I was going to ask you if you think he regrets not taking those. But I think a lot of that depends on if he would have taken those, if there was success on that end. But that being said, Auburn wouldn't have gone out and hired a new head coach for a 2-year deal.
Yeah, well, I hate to put you guys on the spot, but I'm going to. Do you think he's retained after this year?
Yes.
I do.
I think you cause a lot more problems if you were to get rid of Steven Pearl after just 1 year. And again, take the name and the family and everything, the identity away from this. You just promoted a coach from within who's been on the staff for however long now, and if you get rid of him in year one after retaining all the other staff members too, if you let him go, again, taking the Pearl name out of it for a second, that sends a bad message to whoever you would try to go hire next. But to go back to your previous question/statement there, Terry, I think it, and I said this even when Bruce was still here, because this was the worst kept secret in Auburn basketball that Steven Pearl was the coach in waiting. It's impossible for him to not have benefited from taking a smaller job at a smaller school before taking the head coaching job at Auburn. I just didn't see any negatives towards that other than him having to leave the Plains, if that makes sense.
I think if we keep him, it's going to send an even bigger message, because like Lonnie said, They're ranked, what, 107th in recruiting?
Yeah, and they've got a lot of...
Don't want to come play for him?
Yeah, they've got a lot of guys that they're after, and they had a visitor on campus a couple weeks ago. Another guy just put them in their top four or five, but you got to secure those, right? Just because they visit and put you on their graphic doesn't mean they're coming here, and so that's the issue too, right, is who on this team this year who transferred in or a freshman who got better this year from start to finish on this Auburn basketball team? Any particular player in your mind, Terry, that got better?
No.
I don't know if I can name one.
Maybe Kevin Overton, but that's about it.
Oh, I don't even know about that.
I think defensively, Sebastian.
Right.
But I would say offensively, maybe Keyshawn Murphy, but...
Yeah, but again, maybe. we don't see the level of consistency to have a true, legitimate answer.
All I'm thinking is this, guys. If they retain him, they're accepting losing, and that's what they're going to do a lot of. Take care, guys.
Thanks, Terry. Appreciate the call. 334-321-1390. Phone lines continue to be open here in hour number one. And I want to go back to my fear here coming out of this game. Again, Auburn losing to Mississippi State last night in crazy fashion. This is so negative, and I hate to be this way, Christian, but I hedged my bet yesterday by saying it before the game and before the final result. I said that if Auburn loses this game, didn't matter how, just if they lost this game in this way or in any way, to lose your fifth game in a row with five to play, I don't think you can fix it. I don't think you can turn it around. I have a bad feeling about what's about to happen to this Auburn team, because I think we saw it live in action in front of our eyes, in our ears, in our brains. We had to process this last night. I think this team, and I thought it happened in the first 20 minutes and they showed some fight, and it may have been even worse that they fumbled and crumbled and tumbled twice.
Yeah.
In the same game.
It would be
in the same game.
It would also be another thing is if you fight back and then it's back and forth and then you lose a heartbreaker in that fashion. But it was the fact that you essentially went on some sort of 25-4 run in the second half to take a 7-point lead, only for Mississippi State to respond the way that they did. And for Auburn, we look at it as we were shocked and we didn't know how to respond. The guys on the floor didn't either. And that is what is a little bit concerning.
That one worries me right now. Keyshawn Hall had 29 last night. Tahad Pettiford had 21. Kevin Overton with 15. Murph with 7. Freeman with 7. Sway with 6. That's it. I mean, you played a six-man rotation last night.
Do we know, and again, I don't have the true answer on this, but I know this has been talked a little bit about on the social media side of things. After South Carolina, where Phillip had, 23 in that game, and then it was Alabama, we talked about how good Phillip played in the 13 minutes that he had, and Steven audibly said, I need to find a way to get him more minutes. He played 11 last night.
Has he played 15-plus minutes since those comments from Steven Pearl? I doubt it.
And again, in a game like this where you needed guard defense, it maybe takes a little bit away from that in this game. He played 16 against Vanderbilt. But since playing 30 against South Carolina, 14, 15, 14, 17, 13, 16, 14, and 11, where he has not shot the ball more than 4 times where he did at Florida.
That just doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. And here's what doesn't make sense is, like you said, Steven said it himself. Steven Pearl, the head coach, said himself, I have to find a way to get him more minutes. And I want to make this clear, too. Auburn is not playing with the full roster they prepared for. Caden Magwood got benched months ago. He may as well be, don't even show up because you're not getting in the game. Simon Walker, same way. Bashir, hurt. Opurim, out. You're getting nothing. Nothing. Blake, I'm sorry. It's just not there, right? It's just not to that level that Auburn needs. You're bringing in Freeman and Jovic. That's it. You're bringing in two guys off the bench. 2. You're playing a 6.5, 7-man rotation at best, yeah, where Auburn thought they could have 9 or 10 if everybody was playing. I think that changes things completely.
It does.
But at what point, and again, I think it's too late. I think we're past it. I think it's gone. I think this season is washed. Adieu. Sorry. It's just how I feel. Why would you not have changed something? Something. Change up a rotation. Change up your lineup. Change up your formula. Because what you have been doing the last month of the season is not working. Why not change it up? Your options are limited. And that needs to be stated. And Auburn fans need to understand that. You're trying to play chess with half the pieces. But you still got to play. You still got to try and win. And if something's not going your way, you can't just beat your head against the wall and hope to figure it out. You got to make some changes. And I don't know why that hasn't been happening. And now Auburn has lost 5 in a row. You lost a game last night, 91-85, to the point that if you don't think it's bad, did you see what Stephen Pearl said last night? He said this is the worst loss that he has ever been a part of during his time at Auburn. The worst loss that he's ever been a part of since he's been at Auburn. That should tell you everything you need to know.
If you didn't watch this game, Jacob, I tell you, Auburn scores 85 points. They shoot 40% from the floor, but again, score 85 points because they're 25 of 31 from deep.
And no, you shoot from the
free throw line, apologies. And you are
Josh Hubbard was about 25 of 31 from deep.
Yeah. But you are 12 of 26. You make 12 threes in that contest, and you out rebound Mississippi State by 7. And you turn the ball over only 8 times.
You win. You win by double digits.
I tell you that Auburn walked away with this game.
Yeah. 85-70. Something like that.
Auburn hot clocks Mississippi State. It isn't even a thing in college basketball. We see it, but
yeah. Literally.
It's one of those get on the bus and get home when there's still 8 minutes left in the game.
And Auburn's offense was not good last night. I mean, what was it? Keyshawn Hall scored the first 8 points of this game, and you had to beg Tahad Pettiford to get going, and he finally did and gave you a performance that's respectable from Tahad.
7 of 17, 21 points.
Yeah, 3 of 9 from deep. That's too many threes for Auburn, but he made a third of them, so whatever. You do what you got to do. Keyshawn had a double-double. Murph almost had a double-double, right? Murph, he does what he does.
Yeah, his shooting performance, was unfortunate for him going back.
But here we are again with this Auburn team. You
talking
didn't lose
offense.
This game offensively. Yeah.
We're talking about offense?
You went 25 of 31 at the free throw line on the road. You outscored them by, what was it? How many did Mississippi State have?
You outscored them by 12.
You outscored a team on the road by 12 at the free throw line. You out-rebounded them, you outscored them at the free throw line, and you turn it over single-digit times against a bad Mississippi State team. That team sucks.
With 17 offensive rebounds, too.
Yeah, because you couldn't get stops.
You lost to a team that didn't run an offensive set all night.
You let a dude go for a career high, man.
Almost in the first half.
I don't think we're talking about enough. He scored 35 points.
It took
18
and a half minutes for there to be a change, for there to be a double team, for there to be anything beyond, hey, all right, we're calling timeout. Who's going to be the one? Who's going to be the one to put a stop to it? Who's going to take the pride on the defensive end of the floor?
Who wants it?
To stop him. And there was just no stoppages in the first half. You saw the stoppage in the second half because it took 2 or 3 Tigers to stop him until it mattered most. When they thought Mississippi State was going to roll over and die, it was Auburn that did under the pressure of trying to hold a lead in the final 3 minutes.
We said it during football, we'll say it during baseball, and we'll say it right now during basketball. Those things that we just talked about for the last 10 minutes, Christian, that's coaching. It's coaching. Now, is that because Stephen Pearl can't do it? I don't know. Is that because Stephen Pearl's not worthy of being the head coach? I don't know. Is that because he's a first-year head coach at a P4 program that has high expectations with a roster that clearly has some issues on and off the floor? I don't know. There is no one particular reason, but what I do know is a lot of those things we just talked about are coaching issues, and those have to be fixed no matter who's on this team. Let's take our final break here in hour number one. Again, you can be a part of the show, 334-321-1390. We wrap up hour number one after this.
This is Coach Larry Vickers, and you're on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin on Auburn Opelika Sports Leader, ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin, online at ESPNAU.com and on the Radio Alabama app.
Wrapping up hour number one here on ESPN 106.7. We've talked a lot of Auburn basketball, but that was not the only game on last night. Game of the year in Tuscaloosa? I mean, holy smokes.
I mean, that's what I heard, that coaches are going to tell their kids to watch defensively.
Yeah, you can become a good defender too if you go to Alabama or Arkansas, apparently. That game was wild last night. And we joked about the total yesterday of that game. Remember, it was like 180 something. Yeah, they smoked that. How about 232 is what they scored. Insane. 117-115. Alabama takes down Arkansas. Double overtime in Tuscaloosa. Oh, that was nasty. Oh, she finished it. Oh, snap. The Americans are gold bound, baby. Oh, my gosh. What a play. You missed it, dude.
I did.
She duked this chick. Oh, my gosh. The Americans, the females, the ladies are golden. Holy smokes. Oh, that was nasty. United States takes down Canada in the Olympics in the gold medal match in overtime. 2-1. Who needs Alabama basketball when you've got a United States hockey, man? Show the replay. That was filthy. Oh, my gosh. There you go. United States get gold on the rink. Take that, Chris Gordy. We'll talk to him about that coming up in hour number two. What a play, man. That's so heartbreaking for Canada. Drop an F-bomb. Do it. They probably cheated anyway. All right, hour number one's in the book. Stick around. We're talking more basketball coming up in hour two. Chris Gordy of Locked On SEC will join us. And Jessica Braswell, the head coach of Auburn Equestrian. They're back home for the first time in a long time. We talked to her to start hour number two here on ESPN 106.7.
Following is an Auburn Network production. You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067. Bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what sports talk radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Happy Thursday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway here in hour number two during On the Line on ESPN 106.7. It is the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. He is the Christian Griffin. We appreciate you being with us on this sunny Thursday afternoon in the Auburn Opelika area. And hour number one, it was jam-packed, man. We talked all things college basketball as Auburn goes on the road, falls to Mississippi State last night in some fashion. I don't know how to describe that. We have tried to find the right word for it, and I just don't think we have it. But we talked a lot about it in hour one. Talked about why Auburn is in big trouble. Now that you lose that game, you're fifth in a row as you prepare for Kentucky this Saturday. So we talked a lot about that. A lot of your reactions, phone calls, text messages as well. And then we tried to talk Alabama and Arkansas basketball and maybe the game of the year last night in double overtime. But the United States women's hockey team had better things to do and better things to say as they beat Canada live in the gold medal match 2-1 in overtime. Speaking of overtime, to take gold, and one of us reacted to that in a big way. The other one just sat in silence. So all of that was in hour number one. If you missed any of it, you can always go back and catch up with the podcast version of the show on our station website at ESPNAU.com. And here in hour number two great guests are going to join us on the show today. Chris Gordy of Locked On SEC will join us as he always does at 3:30. Get caught up on college basketball in the league with him, talk a little SEC baseball as well. But we begin the second hour with a coach who has joined us several times, one of the most successful coaches on campus right now, and one of the nation's best equestrian teams, Jessica Braswell, the head coach of Auburn Equestrian, as they return home against SMU this Saturday. She joins us right here on ESPN 106.7. Jacob Goins with you on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. We continue talking with a ton of coaches from Auburn in the past couple of weeks, Butch Thompson, Jeff Graba, and one that we've had on several times. It's been a little bit, but she's back with us in the studio, head coach of Auburn Equestrian, Coach Jessica Braswell. Coach, it's great to see you. It's been several months now since we've talked to you, but hopefully you enjoyed a little bit of the break and getting back in the swing of things.
Yeah, thanks for having me, War Eagle. We're excited to get going with our spring portion of our season and finally be back at home this weekend.
Well, we were talking several times back in the late fall, right? Because your season started all the way back in the 1st of October, and then you competed several times, you take a big break, and then you continue in the spring portion. But you have a fall season and a spring season, but it's all the same season. Can you kind of explain how all that works and kind of how you deal with such a long, stretched out portion of your schedule?
Yeah, so we're a little unique in that way that we're technically a winter sport because of when our championship falls, but we compete all of the fall and most of the spring. So our regular season's basically broken in half. We were a little heavy in the fall. I think we had 7 meets in the fall, and we have 5 regular season in the spring, and then we'll go into the SEC championship and the national championship. So all of those meets, though, all 12 of those meets count exactly the same. So the fall and the spring counts the same. We just have a break in the middle. Our student-athletes get to go on winter break, which is really great for everyone. And then our horses also get a little time off, which is good for them. And we've already actually had 2 meets this spring, and then we're just about to open at home for the spring season. And so we're really right in the middle of it.
Well, you had some big meets back in the fall. I mean, Baylor, SMU, TCU, South Carolina, Georgia. I mean, you're talking top 10 teams in the country, Auburn Equestrian being a top 10 team as well. Do you look at it as the fall being like a non-conference slate and preparing for the spring slate? I know you've got some SEC teams in there and stuff, but do you view it that way, kind of like we do in football or basketball, or is it every meet matters, everything's important, and you just look at it all as the same?
Every meet matters and everything's important. We really look at it as the same. You know, you try to pace yourself a little bit.
Sure.
And we break it into 2 seasons in the sense that in the fall, we knew that Georgia meet was the last meet of the fall, and that'd be a great place for us to peak for the fall season. And then when we look at the spring, knowing obviously that the postseason's where we want to peak. So you practice that way, and you kind of want to build your meets on top of each other, but every single one of them counts the exact same towards where you get seated in the postseason. So the wins and losses all count the same, and you want to, every single one of them is important. And then you just have to look at kind of building your season so that you peak at the right time.
Auburn Equestrian started the spring portion of the schedule as the number one ranked team in the country, went to UT Martin, got a nice win there at the end of January. Then just coming off this trip to South Carolina, where you fell behind early, made a valiant comeback effort, but it came up just a bit short. Walk us through that, coach, on what you saw in South Carolina against a top 10 team in the Gamecocks, where you fell 10-9.
Yeah, South Carolina's come on strong. Over the last couple of years, Coach Gwynn's done a really good job with that program, and they've had a really good spring at home. I was proud of our effort. You know, we got hit in the mouth a little to start. I think we were a little stunned going 0-5 in horsemanship. That's really uncharacteristic of this team. And I really appreciated how much everybody dug in and kept fighting. You know, we never, the team never quit, never was out of it. I mean, we were a quarter of a point from winning the whole thing. Had it gone to raw score, we would have won. So it was a good lesson in that we can't be slow out of the gate like that. We've got to be ready to go from the very beginning, but also how deep we are, how good we can be, and that you got to keep fighting till the very end. Because even when it looks like nothing but an uphill battle, I was really proud of how they came back and they kept fighting. And we've got to get more consistent. You know, that's what we keep talking about over and over again. It's so hard in this sport to win on the road. There's such a home field advantage. So anytime you can get a road win, it's a huge win. And we should have and could have won that meet. So I think that one's hung with us a little bit. You've got to let it go in the sense you've got to move on, but you also want to feel it a little bit and know that that's not a fun feeling. Losing isn't a fun feeling. So I think we're really ready for this weekend against SMU and that home opener and showing what we can do.
And I know you're competitive. I'm sure your team is feeding off of that as well. You've had a couple of weeks now since the South Carolina meet coming home. This Saturday is Auburn Equestrian. They have SMU coming to town. That's 11 a.m. Saturday morning at the Auburn University Equestrian Center. We have Jessica Braswell, the head coach of Auburn Equestrian, with us in the studio here on ESPN 106.7. And I want to talk about your team a little bit and remind folks what this roster looks like. It's very balanced in terms of the experience on the roster. Some heavy seniors, some junior, sophomore, freshmen. What are you seeing right now from your roster, just the makeup of it and the different events and what you're seeing as you get this spring portion of your schedule really started?
Yeah, you know, we have strengths in all four events, which is great. Our horsemanship squad has been really strong for us all year. We've got two seniors there, Alexia Tordoff and Caroline Fredenberg, that have really led the way. And then we've got three juniors. So that's a really old part of the team right there. A little less experience in the reining, but those guys are coming along. You know, they led the comeback against South Carolina, going 4-0 against South Carolina. And then on the jumping seat side, we're a little younger. Avery Glenn leads that squad as a junior. And then Caroline Olson as a freshman this year has had an outstanding season so far. And then we've gotten good riding from some of our sophomores. So Kate Haggerty, Ariana Marnell, Emily Jernovoy is a freshman that's gotten a few starts, Sadie Burkout. So, you know, some good, nobody's a freshman anymore. That's the other thing we talk about at this point. You know, we've been going long enough. They've got, you know, 3/4 of a season, 2/3 of a season under their belt. So they know what to expect and know what the pressure's like and the difference in riding for a team and riding as an individual. So we don't really look at them as freshmen anymore.
Sure.
We talk about that just from a leadership perspective as well. So really it's just about consistency. I think making sure that we do our job in each event. We've got to stay in that 3-2, 2-3 range in each event to give ourselves a chance. It gets really tough if you go down 1-4, 0-5, and then you've got to pull that comeback. So we want to stay right there in the middle. And then you have those really strong events that can go 4-1 in the right direction for you, 5-0 in the right direction for you.
Well, for a program like Auburn Equestrian, again, you rank so high every year, you're competing and winning national championships every single year. I feel like the standards for the young riders, for a freshman or even some younger sophomores, I feel like the grace period is not all that long. It's you got to come in, you're walking into a dominant program. We expect you to compete and deliver almost immediately. Is that right? I mean, to what you hold your freshmen, their standards are?
Yeah, you know, the biggest adjustment for them typically is just learning what it's like to compete on a team. They come in competing, having competed a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And the college format is different. They've got to get used to riding different horses and things like that. But really the biggest change for them is that pressure of riding for a team and not just riding as an individual. So that's a lot of times the jump that they have to make.
Do they not compete team-wise as they're growing and getting older, I guess, through the high school rankings? Or is it just not as popular at that level? What's the difference there?
It's just not a team sport they grow up.
Okay.
It's an individual sport.
Gotcha.
So
okay.
They're part of programs and like clubs that are teams, but they're not competing as a team.
Right,
so
right.
They, you know, they're used to encouraging their peers and things like that, but they're not going out there representing their team and earning a point for their team. So it's just a little bit different. But once they make that adjustment and they get into the groove there, we see great things from freshmen a lot of times just because they're coming off so much competing. They've been riding a lot when they come in. So we do. We look for freshmen to contribute a lot. And luckily this year's team, we are pretty even across the board. We've got some good junior and senior leadership, but we've also got some really strong freshmen and sophomores.
Jacob Goins with you on ESPN 106.7. We're talking Auburn Equestrian with the head coach of Auburn Equestrian, Jessica Braswell, who has become a frequent flyer, frequent guest here on ESPN. And again, you're back home for the first time since November for a meet as SMU comes into town again Saturday, 11 a.m. We encourage people to go and check it out. If you're looking for Saturday plans, go get some breakfast and then go hang out at the Equestrian Center because you mentioned it earlier, home atmospheres mean something. This isn't just something for football or baseball or whatever. It matters for every sport, especially here at Auburn. And you guys have done such a good job at making it a true event, even outside of what's happening on the horses as well.
Yeah, so the home atmosphere for us is huge. You know, this has been a really dominant team at home. And a lot of that is because of our Auburn family and the fans that come out. And the team feeds off their energy. Nobody has a home meet like Auburn. And we're really proud of that and really grateful to the community that comes out and supports us. 11 o'clock on Saturday, weather permitting, we'll have all the kid activities. So pony rides, paint the pony, bouncy house. Admission is free.
Mm-hmm.
Great thing to come do with the family. Can do that before you go to basketball Saturday night.
Yeah, so, make a whole day of it.
Yep, we're really excited to be back at home and be in front of our fans and bring a win back.
And it's against SMU, a team that you've competed against already. This was back in the fall portion of your season, a meet that was on the road that ended up in a tie for a little bit, and you came out on top of that. But how can you break it down for me? Because Riley was trying to explain it to me the other day, and there's a lot of details and things that go into when the meet is over and you're tied with the other team. How do they decipher that? How do they decide who the winner is and who the loser is? Because that's what happened the first time against SMU.
Yeah, so SMU is a really good team. They had a tough fall schedule, and I think that they've gotten better and better. So we know that they're going to come in ready to compete on Saturday and expect that it to be a tough matchup and good preparation for us for postseason. So if you end in a tie with your points, then you go to raw score. So every rider gets a score for mm-hmm. their head-to-head matchup. And so if it's tied 10-10, then we'll go and we'll add every Auburn rider's score up and every SMU's rider's score up. And then whoever has the highest total amount is who's going to win the tiebreaker. So
that's how
we figured it out the first time. It was really close. SMU's a really good team. And I think they've gotten better, so it's going to be a tough matchup on Saturday.
Our ties, they can't be all that common in Equestrian, right? I mean, you've had two of them this year, and you've been on both sides of the tie, going one way for you and one way for Texas A&M. But how common are ties in Equestrian? I feel like that just has to be rare.
It's not. It's maybe more common than you would think, but not terribly common.
Okay.
It happens maybe once a year.
Yeah.
Maybe not quite that often. We just had two really close meets on the road.
Mm-hmm.
And when you can play close on the road, that's huge. That's showing that you have a lot of fight and that you're hanging in there because it's really hard to win on the road. So sometimes those ties can come up, but we try not to let it get there.
Yeah, well, and when it does get there, that's when it really comes down to every ride matters. Every girl's performance matters. And so you don't want to get to that point, but hopefully this weekend is not the case. Again, SMU coming to town this Saturday for Auburn Equestrian, 11 a.m. at the Auburn Equestrian Center. That's this Saturday. You then go to Georgia next Saturday. Texas A&M comes back the following Saturday. And then the SECs are here. Is it crazy how fast the season flies by, even with how long it is stretched out from the fall and the spring? I mean, I'm sure it flies by.
The spring goes so quickly.
Yeah.
I can't believe we're already at the point. I think we're about 5 weeks out from the SEC championship. So, and we still have three regular season meets. So it goes really quickly. It's all very compact and in there. But we're excited about where we are. We still have the two regular season meets at home, and then we're hosting the SEC championship, which will be an awesome opportunity for Auburn fans to come out and watch us in a championship event. And we're really excited to host it and have all the other SEC schools here and to see Auburn and see what kind of meet we put on.
Well, I'm sure we'll be talking to you between now and then. And hey, this Saturday, not only is the meet going on, I know weather is in the forecast, so hopefully that holds off. But you guys also pride yourself on cool giveaways and promotions and things. This Saturday is pretty cool. An Auburn golf bag raffle. And looking at the pictures online, this thing is sweet. Tell the people how they can get involved with that if they show up on Saturday.
Yeah, so it'll be the giveaway on Saturday. They'll raffle it off. We're really excited. I actually saw it the other day, so it's pretty cool.
Did you just take it home or what?
I didn't. But yes, it's golf day at Equestrian on Saturday, so it'll be a lot of fun. There'll be some golfy type games in Kids Zone, and then the giveaway, the golf bag giveaway. So come on out, give yourself a chance to win that golf bag. Bring the family out and support us, cheer for us. It definitely makes a huge difference for our student athletes.
I mean, it's no Taylor Swift t-shirt, but a golf bag for Auburn is pretty cool too. It's a close second, right?
Yeah, I wanted one of those Taylor Swift t-shirts too. So
you couldn't get your hands on one? You run the place. You couldn't get one?
They were very limited.
Oh, man. Well, that's okay. Well, if there is an extra golf bag, maybe just store that in the closet for a rainy day. But Auburn Equestrian this Saturday again at home at the Auburn University Equestrian Center. You can find more information at auburntigers.com. 11 a.m. Saturday, Auburn and SMU. The head coach of Auburn Equestrian, Jessica Braswell, with us on ESPN 106.7. Coach, always appreciate your time. Good luck this weekend, War Eagle.
Thanks for having me, War Eagle.
Hey, this is your resident Super Bowl champ, Chris Candy, from Unsportsmanlike, and you're listening to On the Line with Jacob Goins on Auburn Opelika Sports Leader, ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you want to be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
All right, we're back here on ESPN 106.7. Thanks to Jessica Braswell, head coach of Auburn Equestrian, who has joined us several times here on the show. And appreciate her. Appreciate the time as they, return home this Saturday against SMU, 11 a.m. Hopefully the weather holds off. It's not looking great right now, but if it does hold off, go take the family, hang out there. They do all sorts of cool things. And giving away a cool Auburn-themed golf bag.
Pretty
so
sweet.
You will find Christian Griffin there. He will.
I do not partake in golf.
No. Hey, you've already won a free golf bag. You don't need
that
another one.
That is true.
One. You won one. You're good. I'll take this one. I'll take one for the team.
We can work on a hand-me-down situation if we need to.
The one I'm currently using is a hand-me-down situation. I don't want the hand-me-down you got rid of.
No. The one you can have the one that I have now. If I get the new one.
Oh, the one you have is still nicer than the one I'm using. So yes, I'll take whatever I can get. But yes, go check out Auburn Equestrian this weekend. Several more home meets as well. We've had a ton of coaches on here recently, man. We've had players and coaches, and it's been stacked here over the last couple of weeks. So we appreciate everybody in the SID department at Auburn, and looking forward to that. We're gonna have another coach on tomorrow as well. So it's been a busy couple of weeks for Auburn head coaches and players joining us here on the show.
Again, that's what we love to do, giving these coaches the platform to be able to not only talk about their team, but to continue to share updates, continue to inform everybody about their sports. And we've seen the rewards, not from our personal side of things, but the rewards from these coaches being able to talk about the atmospheres and the just what each of their sport does. We've seen a lot from what they have told us and when we go out there as well, and so it is a really, really cool thing that we have very much enjoyed doing, and hopefully it's passed down as well.
Yeah, so we got a couple of minutes before Chris Gordy of Locked On SEC joins us on the phone lines at 3:30, as he always does on Thursdays, and we were trying to talk Alabama and Arkansas plus other games in college basketball from last night, and man, some good ones. I can't remember a game where I've seen that many points, that many shots made, that many plays, that many winning plays made last night at Tuscaloosa. And you hear this a lot. It's very cliche, but it is unfortunate that a team had to lose that game last night. That was a lot of fun watching that one as Auburn was getting, blitzed in the first half of their game at the exact same time.
I believe, I'm trying to get exact confirmation, but I believe that Alabama made 15 of their final 16 shots in the second half of regulation in this contest, with the miss being one of their final, if not the final shot of regulation, where Acuff then was able to go down and hit the three. And so a crazy performance all around. We talked about Josh Hubbard, who had 46. Acuff had 49, was 16 of 27. He played every single minute in that game for Arkansas, where Arkansas had three players foul out. And so Calipari was basically using three guys that had not seen the floor all year. And unfortunately, in the final 3 minutes of double overtime, you saw it.
Oh, dude.
The miscommunication on defense.
That was brutal. That defensive breakdown was so bad.
Yeah, with Millett in the corner, where three Razorbacks all went after him. And then the offense, you knew it was going to go to Acuff every time, but it just felt like there was nothing other than the isolation. There wasn't really any sort of ball movement or anything. But yeah, he played 50 minutes, did Darius Acuff, and had 49 points. And Calipari, after the game, was talking about it, to where after this past weekend, Acuff spent 2 days in a boot.
Yeah.
And so there was a possibility of him not playing in this game, and Acuff obviously told him, no, it's okay. I will be playing. And my goodness, I mean, this is a Walter Clayton type of run that Acuff has been on the past couple of weeks.
I mean, he is competing for player of the year in the conference as a freshman. He's competing for player of the year. So
he's quickly worked his way into a thanks for 1 year of college basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome to the next level.
Yeah, he will be a very good representation of John Calipari for sure. Other games that happened last night in college basketball. I told y'all weeks ago, man, Illinois is the team outside of the SEC to look for.
Good
that
Lord.
Team is ridiculously good. I mean, they're so talented. They're so deep. They're so, so good. They went on the road to USC across the country. USC's not a great team. They're not bad. They beat them 101-65 in a conference game on the road.
Yeah, scored 54 points in the first half, followed it up by a measly 47 in the second half.
How about Arizona last night, beating BYU without Koa Pete?
Yeah, and despite A.J. Dibonsa having 35, you talk about one of the best players. And again, I mean, not that this is a surprise, one of the best players in college basketball, but I mean, he averages 25 a game, which leads all of college basketball. But you look at what he's done as of late, going back to January 24th, where he took on Utah. He had 43, 24 against Arizona the first time, 17 against Kansas, and then he turned it on. 36, 28, 36, 20, and then 35 last night.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive. Missouri gets a much-needed win. That's a borderline bubble team. Not anymore. They get the win they were looking for. They take down top 20 Vanderbilt, 81-80 in Como. That's a big win for
the
Tigers.
Did you see how it happened, the final 30 seconds of it?
Yeah, I was going to say 25, 30 seconds of it.
Vanderbilt's, well, take it back. Missouri did everything they could to try and give Vanderbilt this win. A three-pointer with about 5 seconds to go. An inbound to half court, and Tyler Tanner
in and out.
Counted in the arcade from half court. He still had 27 in the contest, but yeah, 19th-ranked Vanderbilt goes down. Missouri quietly 8-5 in the SEC.
UConn goes down on their home floor. Creighton beats them 91-84. McDermott gets it done again against Dan Hurley.
You feel like it's just it's a win for America when you get to watch a Dan Hurley rant.
Yeah, it's always exciting. Tennessee handles Oklahoma last night. Clemson went down to Wake Forest. ACC's so bad. We'll talk to a guy that despises the ACC. Chris Gordy of Locked On SEC next.
We're halfway through hour number two. You've got 30 more minutes of On the Line on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
We've got 30 more minutes here on the Thursday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7, and we get to the phone lines and welcome in our longtime Thursday 3:30 guest. He is the host of the Locked On SEC podcast. He is Chris Gordy with us now. My man, I know you didn't watch it, but I know you've seen and heard about it by now. How about the United States women's hockey team winning gold just now? How do you feel about that, Chris Gordy?
That's awesome. Name two players on the team.
So Auburn basketball played last night. It was a lot of fun. Yeah. We did watch it here in the studio. It was cool. I just know that you are an outspoken non-liker of the Olympics.
I mean, it's fine. If that's your thing, get into it. It's just not my thing. I'd rather watch a replay of Mississippi State versus Auburn from last night.
I bet you would. Well, I guess we could talk about that, huh? Since Auburn did go to Mississippi State last night, they did not play well, and they did not win either. They lose to Mississippi State in... We've been trying to find the word, Chris, to say, is it heartbreaking fashion? Is it depressing fashion? We don't really know how to describe it. How would you describe whatever that was last night in Stark Vegas?
Well, it was a terrible start, and that's the reality of it. I mean, Auburn played much better in the second half. I just think that the damage was basically done at that point. Thank God Keyshawn Hall was back, because maybe it'd have been uglier if he hadn't played. But it's just like I don't know. Like, I was talking to somebody about this yesterday, and they were saying, you know, what's the hallmark of what Stephen Pearl wants to do? He wants defense. And he just doesn't have the players to do it. So, look, the hope is Auburn can rally the troops. I think the goal would have been to go 3-3 in these last six. That certainly becomes a lot tougher with having lost last night. But if they could somehow win three of the next five, I think that gets them in the tournament. And who knows? Just making the tournament would be a great accomplishment for Stephen Pearl. But I thought about this when the disciplinary issues were happening at Keyshawn Hall. I said, Stephen Pearl needs to build this team in his design, right? I mean, it still is Bruce Pearl's team, basically. I think of a full offseason of recruiting and transfer portal, he can build this team how he wants it and the design he wants it for next year. Guys who actually give a crap about playing defense. And then we'll truly be able to judge Stephen Pearl on how he is as a head coach. But I just think it's with how things went down, with when Bruce stepped aside and, you know, trying to mold this roster, I just don't think it's built how he wants it to be built. So I looked it up. I mean, the buyout is still, it's around $6 million, and there are other head coaches in the SEC who have buyouts around that are going to get bought out, but I think you got to give him more than a year. I know there's some overreactionary people who are going to say, let's pull the ripcord now, but I think you got to give him next year. But again, if he can win three of these next five and they make the tournament, I think, I don't think anybody's going to be running to try to fire him even if they squeeze into the tournament.
Chris, it's funny you mentioned that. That was my question for you was, are you in defense or are you the other way around? Because it's been a very popular topic of conversation. We've had callers that are in favor of continuing to wait. We've also had callers that are saying, man, this is it. We have seen enough. But you are obviously making it clear right now that give Steven his first true recruiting class rather than being force-fed this roster right now, and give him a year, and then you'll be able to truly judge what he has on the table.
Yeah, because they're so bad defensively. I mean, I'm like, and that's all I heard Stephen Pearl. Every interview I heard the last few years was about defense. We got to be tough-nosed defense and all this. And I'm just like, I know he's not, it's not like he's not coaching it. So I just think he doesn't have the players, how this roster is built. I just don't think they have the players to execute how he wants it. And so, like I said, you give him a full offseason, an entire offseason, to build this team how he wants it. I think that's only fair. And if he falls flat on his face in 2027, well, then you make the move.
Chris Gordy of Locked On SEC with us here on the phone lines. And we zoom out from Auburn and look at other teams, other games around the SEC. I mean, man, have you seen a game in your life like we had in Tuscaloosa last night between Arkansas and Alabama? A double overtime thriller. Alabama gets it done because Arkansas simply ran out of players, Chris.
That was incredible. I mean, I tweeted it out. I was like, that's hands down the best game in the SEC this year. I thought, look, it's nothing against Nate Emmitt at Tennessee, but I just feel like Darius Acuff in Arkansas, I mean, he's hands down one of the most fun players I've seen play in the SEC in some time, as far as freshmen go. I mean, he already set the record for most freshman of the year awards, and as I saw somebody point out this morning, there have been 93 seasons of SEC basketball played. A freshman guard has never led the league in points and assists, and Darius Acuff is on pace to do it. So, yeah, man, it sucked that somebody had to lose that game. I know a lot of anti-Alabama people that were rooting for Arkansas last night, but unfortunately it just came up short.
Well, Chris, four teams in the SEC are ranked in the top 25. Vanderbilt falls last night, as does Arkansas, the team that you're mentioning. You also have Alabama, the top 25 team, and Florida, the 12th ranked team in the country. We've had the conversations about bracketology and how 10 teams right now are scheduled into the tournament. I think all three of us are in the conversation of we will take the under on that side of things. Rather, wanted to ask your thoughts on a conversation that we had earlier in the week of how many SEC teams right now do you trust to make a big-time Sweet 16 run, rather than what their overall bracket looks like? Just from that team as a whole, how many SEC teams do you trust to make the Sweet 16?
Yeah, I mean, I'll just talk it out. I think Florida, absolutely. I think Arkansas has a chance. I think Alabama, I think Tennessee. Those four, gosh, I was starting to buy into Kentucky until they lost at home to Georgia the other night. But I'll give them credit. I mean, Mark Pope and, you know, just the Kentucky Blue Bloods, they should have a chance to get there. So I'll put them in there. That's five. Gosh, it's hard to ignore what Sean Miller's starting to do with Texas. They've won five in a row and starting to heat up. I mean, they didn't play great basketball earlier in the year, but, man, they are really starting to turn it on. And so that's a team that could potentially do it. But I'd probably cap it there. I know Vandy's been great, man, but I don't know. Mark Byington has been incredible, but I don't know if I can buy them as a team that's going to make a deep run in the tournament. So
another loss last night for them, Chris.
Yeah, and Missouri, I think, is still a little bit of a fraud. A&M, you know, they finally broke their, four-game losing streak with a win the other night, but I'm not buying them. We'll see if Georgia sneaks in, but it's probably one of Florida, Bama, Arkansas, Tennessee, and then throw in Kentucky or Texas.
So we'll see what happens with SEC basketball. About five games to go coming down the stretch. Big games this weekend as well. We're talking to Chris Gordy, the host of the Locked On SEC podcast. He's with us every Thursday, 3:30 here on ESPN 106.7. And want to flip to the diamond, my friend, because we're underway in college baseball. And opening weekend was fun. The midweek for some teams, not so much. What have you seen from the Southeastern Conference through about four games or so?
Yeah, I mean, I'll say this. I mean, LSU looks every part of still a championship team. But what's crazy is they didn't even their starting pitching wasn't even good. But their offense appears to be better than it was last year. And that's crazy considering they won the whole thing in Omaha. Now, they won the whole thing in Omaha because they had Cade Anderson and some really good arms. And so they're going to need guys like Cason Evans and William Schmidt to settle in and be really good on the mound in the weekends. But if they can figure that out, I think, like I said, I think LSU is going to be right back in the picture. But, yeah, I like what we saw from Arkansas going in that tournament up in Arlington. I thought they had a really good showing against some of those Big Ten teams or Big 12 teams. Vanderbilt, kind of disappointed, man. They were supposed to – I mean, I know some people had them as a top 20, top 10 team, and they go and lose two out of three. So that was – that was disappointing for them. But, yeah, I never put too much stock into the midweek games. I mean, everybody is – this time of year, everybody's going to be trying to figure out who their midweek starters are and who are some backup arms we can count on. And so, yeah, I mean, I watched Kentucky lose to Morehead State the other night. You know, Texas woke up finally and was able to beat Lamar. I know Auburn got blanked by Cincinnati. So, I don't put a ton of stock into those midweek games, but I thought Auburn looked pretty good coming out of the week. I know that I got the offensive eruption in the second game on Saturday, but to win a couple of 2-1 games, I think that really shows strong pitching so far for Auburn.
Well, how do you feel about what Auburn and other teams are doing? You mentioned Arkansas played in that big tournament. Auburn doing something similar. They go to Texas and take on the likes of Kansas State, Florida State, and Louisville. I mean, these are the matchups that we should really put some stock and credit into, right, Chris? At least to what we see and what teams like Auburn figure out this weekend before they return home.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. But, again, it's just so early. I mean, what these teams look like now in the third week of February, they're going to look completely different come mid-April in the middle of SEC play. So, but, yeah, again, it's a good measuring stick to kind of see where you're at. And, yeah, I mean, Florida State has traditionally been, you know, one of the powers of the ACC. Louisville has had some great success in recent years. So, yeah, it's going to be a fun matchup to see what Auburn looks like against those teams. But like I said, if they get the pitching they got last weekend, they should have a chance. But I need to see some of those bats have a little bit more of a breakout.
Have you changed your stance this year or any years, Chris, on how many wins you feel are necessary in SEC play for college baseball, on what it takes to be competitive, get to the tournament, be a top national seed? Has that opinion changed for you at all over the years?
I think, I mean, the SEC always gets the benefit of the doubt. So, you know, I feel like if you're always, if you're around 500 in league play, I think you're going to get you're going to have a great chance at a bid. You know, and we've seen some years teams, you know, a game or two below 500 in conference play, but had a strong out of conference and then made a run in the SEC tournament. We've seen those teams get in. So, But as you know, I mean, it's all about being a top 16 seed and mm-hmm. hosting at minimum that first weekend. And then for programs like, you know, LSU and programs that are perennial powers, I mean, it's always about hosting those first two weekends. But as we saw last year in regional play and super regional play, as strong as home field advantage is throughout the season for SEC teams, man, it doesn't seem to matter these days in regional and super regional play. Some of these teams that get red hot. I mean, UTSA went into Texas last year, beat Texas on their home field, and we know what happened with Auburn. So, yeah, I mean, but again, the goal is always to finish up top and at least be hosting the first weekend at minimum.
Chris Gordy, host of the Locked On SEC podcast, joining us here on the phone lines as he does every single Thursday at 3:30. And last question before we let you get out of here. We know that the NCAA is currently not necessarily undergoing anything, but they are threatening to vacate wins or erase stats and fine schools if they continue to win with their ongoing eligibility lawsuits. Obviously, a lot of those coming from the SEC, but those schools not necessarily in the conversation right now. But your overall thoughts on what the NCAA is trying to do and if you think it holds any validity or any weight?
Yeah, I always think that kind of stuff is silly, particularly because of the, you know, like think back to the Reggie Bush thing when they took his Heisman away. Did anybody applaud that move and go, great job, NCAA, you did a great job there? Like nobody thought that was a great idea. And then, you know, it's like even when we've talked about like past Heisman winners, nobody's going to like take him out of the conversation because the NCAA or whoever, you know, took the Heisman away. It's the same thing with like vacated wins. I always think that's so stupid. It's like we saw the games. The memories were made. You know, it's like you can't erase our minds of history. So I don't know. There's certainly a tipping point here and something needs to be done. When it comes to eligibility, and hopefully we'll get to a deal where, you know, I still like John Calipari's, where he said you get five years to play four. I mean, I'd even take it a step further and say you get 6 years to play four. You get 1 year of a regular red shirt, and you get a medical red shirt if you get hurt somewhere along the way. But you only get 4 years of actually playing football. I think that's where this should be drawn a line on, and especially when I saw a kid from Montana got a ninth year of eligibility. Yeah. It's just,
jeez.
Dude, if you get hurt that much and that many medical red shirts, it ain't in the cards. Give it up. You don't get to keep playing college football.
Hang it up, man. That's the man above trying to send you a sign. Hey, maybe football is just not for you. So an ongoing debate, of course, in college athletics. And Chris Gordy of Locked On SEC covers all the things we've talked about today. Basketball, baseball, football, every single day on his podcast, Locked On SEC. Plug it, my man. Tell him where to find it and what you got coming up.
Yeah, Locked On SEC, we actually got an episode up today talking about Byron Brown and kind of what's his ceiling and, you know, is there a world where he could lead the SEC? I think we kind of originally started with lead the SEC in passing yards, but I think I kind of settled on all-purpose yards because of the 1,000 yards rushing he had last year. So wouldn't be crazy, but talking all about Byron Brown and what to realistically expect next year at Locked On SEC.
Chris, we appreciate it as always, brother. Enjoy the weekend. We'll do it again next Thursday.
All right, fellas, and Stephen Pearl, let's get a win, man. Come on.
There it is. Chris Gordy, Locked On SEC. We appreciate you. Appreciate him. He's a longtime guest on the show, man, and was waiting for it.
That was one of the more encouraging jabs on the way out.
It was encouraging from Chris. And look, he doesn't hate Auburn, okay? He just likes to get fans fired up. He covers all 16 teams, bro. You really think Auburn's the only one he picks on? No, he does it with all of them. Go check him out, Locked On SEC on YouTube or wherever you get your podcast. We will take a break. We'll come back and wrap it up here on the Thursday edition of On the Line.
This is Evan Cohen from Unsportsmanlike, and you're listening to On the Line with Jacob Goins on Auburn Opelika Sports Leader, ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin, online at ESPNAU.com and on the Radio Alabama app.
Winding down here on the Thursday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Appreciate Chris Gordy of Locked On SEC. Just got off the phone with him talking all three major sports, actually. Basketball, baseball, a little football in there as well. Also had Auburn equestrian coach Jessica Braswell, who joined us at 3:05. So that was all in the second hour. And then it was all Auburn basketball in hour number one, to where fans are. They're up in arms, man. Fans don't know what to think right now, Christian. And if you're the fans, that's one thing. If you're the team and the players and the coaches, you better have a short memory, because here comes Kentucky on Saturday night inside of Neville. And we'll talk about that tomorrow. We bring in a Kentucky expert tomorrow to talk about Auburn and Kentucky, the Tigers and the Cats. Also have another Auburn head coach joining us on the show tomorrow, so that'll be fun. And it's free for all Friday, so we'll see how that goes and see what other topics of conversation we get into.
So, yeah, it'll be very interesting to see what Neville looks like on Saturday.
I'm not confident in it.
We have briberies going on for the jungle to show up.
That's pretty bad.
After being called out by Tom Hart, talking about the quotes of, "I usually love going to that arena, but it did not perform. I mean, it's...
Well, we talked last night, and I brought up this point. The SEC in basketball has an attendance problem right now.
I do agree with that.
When's the last game you watched on TV in the SEC this season where the stands were just jam-packed? I can't remember one. Coleman wasn't full last night. I can promise you that.
Probably Florida, Alabama. Just because, I mean.
Yeah, maybe.
Or Florida, maybe.
Florida, Auburn.
Auburn, yeah.
Yeah, maybe. But it's rare, right? And that's
only
a problem.
And that's only because the home team of Florida is stupid good.
Correct. They don't have that problem in the Big 12. They rarely have that problem in the Big 10, unless you're UCLA or USC, where they definitely don't care about basketball. But.
Do you raise your voice at me?
There's cameras in here. Do you see that? There's a camera in here.
Go.
Get out. That's the dumbest question I've ever heard. Yeah, get out of here. I think the SEC has an attendance problem. I really do. In basketball, particularly. So, yeah, we'll talk about that idea tomorrow as well. 2 to 4 here on ESPN 106.7. I'm going home. I'm going to bed so I can get up at 5:30 and make my trip to Montgomery tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
Auburn High School girls basketball. We are on the air bright and early tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. sharp over on 96.3 W Lee, one of our Auburn Network's family of stations. We will be on the air probably about 8:45. 8:50 for pregame, and then the Tigers and the Wildcats, Auburn and Enterprise in the Sweet 16 round regional semis tomorrow morning down at the Acadome on the campus of Alabama State.
Yeah, get ready for how fast basketball comes at you at 9 o'clock in the morning trying to phrase basketball.
Yeah, I remember doing it last year. Not easy. But blessed to do it and happy to do it, and we will be doing it tomorrow morning. Again, 96.3 W Lee, so get that programmed on your radio dial if you have not already. If you don't have the Radio Alabama app, that's the way you need to get it and listen to it, because all of our stations are there. You'll be able to listen to us tomorrow afternoon, 2 to 4, here on ESPN 106.7 on that Radio Alabama app. as well.
And next week for baseball, getting things started.
Yes, I know. Opening day for Lee Scott and Auburn High Baseball. We're not able to be there. They're out on the road. But, we'll be on the air next week for broadcasts for all the spring sports for Auburn High and Lee Scott. So, lots going on. Download the Radio Alabama app. We are back tomorrow, 2 to 4, here on ESPN 106.7. Until then, he's Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. Stay safe. We'll talk to you later.
Il Divo.